Another one of the featured films at the festival is a documentary including some breathtaking scenery with wild horses running free on the Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary near Hot Springs. The documentary, Running Wild, The Life of Dayton O'Hyde, tells the story of a cowboy conservationist who's dedicated his life to protecting threatened wild horses as well as the land of the American West. Running Wild is directed by Suzanne Mitchell, and she joins us here. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Carl. It's great to be here.
Also with us is Steve Poltz, a San Diego singer-songwriter who scored the music for the film. And Steve, welcome to the program as well.
Thank you, Carl.
To begin, Suzanne, when did you first learn about Dayton O'Hyde?
I'm going to age myself now. 1992. I was working in New York City on a big People magazine special that was celebrating its 20th anniversary. It was 1992, and the first thing I had to do was flip through 20 years of People magazines to figure out what stories were going to go into this two-hour special. And I found this tiny little article about what Dayton had just begun here in South Dakota. And I thought, for no other than selfish reasons, I want to go to South Dakota, to the Black Hills. I hear it's beautiful. I want to meet a real cowboy. I want to see wild horses. And I lobbied really hard the executive producers to allow me to do that story. And I came out, spent 5 days with my crew, and fell in love with the land, fell in love with the stories that Dayton told me about his life. And I knew at that moment that his story, what he was doing for this planet, deserved a feature-length film. That was 1992.
So you've been working on this for a while.
That's when the dream began.
That's when the dream began.
And then the physical production started in 2002, 10 years later.
Was Dayton Hyde more than happy to accommodate you and have this movie made about his life?
Dayton was a willing participant in the story. However, I don't think he thought it would take 11 years. I don't think that he thought I would be prying so deeply into his personal life for 11 years. And in the end, I think, and I've been told by Dayton, that he's really very happy with the film and the way it turned out. Because it represents his dedication to this planet. It represents the fact that one man can make a difference. And when people see this, they realize things about themselves. And what they can do for their own lives and to help others or whatever their dream might be, they can act on it.
Well, what more can you tell us about Dayton Hyde? You know, we just mentioned the Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary, but his life, so much more that he's done with his life. He's, what, 88 now?
He's 88, and he's attended the festival last evening. It was amazing. We were in Rapid City at the Elks Theater, and you have to realize he's lived many lives, always with a mission in mind to protect the planet or the species that live on the native lands. But he's been a rodeo clown. He was a Life magazine photographer. He's written over 20 books. His latest is a poetry book. He's an award-winning novelist. He started many environmental organizations for sustainable ranching. And then he comes here to the Black Hills at 62 years old because he's looking for a place to set free wild Mustangs that were being held in captivity by the Bureau of Land Management. In 1988, he was shopping for cattle out west from his home in Oregon, where he has a ranch that's over 100 years old. It celebrates its anniversary in this film. And he's looking for cattle, and he comes across the wild horses that are penned up in the feedlots, and he's horrified that these wild animals are basically now in jail. And he felt as a cowboy who rode the range and had grown up around wild horses that he owed them something. So he went west looking for a place to set these horses free. And this was in the mid to late 80s. And the late Governor George Mikkelsen finds out about what Dayton is looking for and decides to contact him and fly him over a piece of land that was going to be sold, and subdivided. And he looks down from the plane and he realizes that this would be the perfect spot to set those horses free. And on credit cards and government loans at 62 years old, when most of us are figuring out how we're going to retire, he started a whole new chapter of his life and set these horses free.
Now, how did you and Steve Poltz get together? Steve, you wrote the music for the film.
She heard me on a radio station one morning out of New York WFUV. I was being interviewed. I was playing a show in New York that night, and she liked my music and tracked me down. And so she told me about this project she was working on. This is years ago, probably 10 years ago she found me. And I said, sure, it sounds great. And then we kept in touch and worked on other projects together. But this was always her main thing that she was harping on, that she had to get it finished. And finally, about 2 years ago, she got some final money that she needed from some investors and was able to finish this project. And so she called me up and had me come out to meet Dayton in South Dakota, and I met him and saw the land and was inspired to write music that matched the pastoral landscape, the spiritual landscape that we saw where all the horses are running, and I wrote a bunch of music for it.
How much time did you spend with Dayton?
She flew me out for about...
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days, I guess, and hung out with him and had a great time. Got to get a vibe for what he was all about. And the funny thing is now we've been in all these film festivals, probably 8 different film festivals, from Florida to Sedona, Arizona, to Slam Dance Film Festival in Park City. And I've hung with Dayton all this time and sort of been able to be next to him. And he's so funny and so quick-witted and such a joy to be around. And he's become a great friend. And I didn't really expect that happening. I just thought I would write the soundtrack to the movie. But yeah, I've been sucked into his world.
How important is it, or was it, going back to coming to the Black Hills, meeting Dayton Height, to be able to write the music, to really capture, I mean, were you trying to capture not only the scenery, but also the man?
Yes, most definitely, and coming out helped me a lot, and Suzanne knew that it would, so she said, you really have to take some time off, because I'm on the road 220 days a year. I'm a troubadour, constantly playing shows from here to Australia, to Ireland, to England, Canada. And so she said, I demand you take some time off. I come out and meet him. This is very important. I can't just send you the dailies and have you write to them. You need to come out and meet Dayton. And so I did, and it was just a beautiful experience to get started.
And Suzanne, we're here at the Black Hills Film Festival. Much of the film takes place near here. What does it mean for you to bring this film and have it shown here in this neighborhood where so much of the film takes place?
You know, we've become a pretty polished act in the last several months while we've been touring the different festivals with the film. But I have to tell you, I was quite nervous because I was coming home to where all of this began. And I was presenting this film to an audience where some of the people in the audience are featured in the film. And you never know what people's reactions are going to be. But last night, there was a woman that stood up in the audience after our screening and said, you know, I'm 61 years old. I'm about the age that Dayton was when he came to this land. And this film has just taught me a lesson that I am now going to move forward on my dream in my life. And she stood up and she started sobbing. You know, I walked away from the Q&A and I gave her the biggest hug. It's been incredible. All those nerves, gone. After I saw the audience and we sat in the audience last night listening to the laughter and to the oohs and the ahs, and all the nuances that are in the film, and people were reacting in exactly the right spots where I would hope they would have reacted. And I knew at that moment that it was working, and so I'm thrilled to be here.
You mentioned the woman that last night who was inspired by this movie. Was that the sort of thing that you were thinking about when you wrote this, started directing the movie to inspire people in maybe many different ways?
I think Dayton inspired me. You know, in 1992, when we pulled off of his land to cut together a 1.5-minute piece for an ABC special on People magazine, and I was left sobbing in the van with the cameraman on his shoulder, and he said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "I met the most amazing man. He's inspired me so much so I think we have to do a film." And, you know, if that worked on this hardened New Yorker who has met a lot of people, I've been all over the world, I've interviewed all sorts of folks, but there was just something about this man's story that led me to where I am today. So if he could do that for me, hopefully the film can pay it forward and do it for others. And yes, that was definitely something that I hoped it would accomplish.
Steve, did you have the same sort of reaction of getting to know Dayton Height?
I have. He inspired Suzanne to be financially irresponsible and finish this loan on credit cards. She did what he did. He passed a virus on to her to jump on the profligate spending train. And that's what I'm getting on now. I'm just wasting my money, and I'm just going to invest in something that I believe could be big. I don't know what it is yet. I'm going to go to the mall and get a candy bar and watch some Judge Judy reruns and think about it. But until then, he's inspired me most definitely. Just being with him, it's so funny. He has these Daytonisms where he says, nobody ever learned anything with their mouth open. And the other night we were at a restaurant, he started coughing, and it was one of the funniest things. We thought he was choking to death. And Susan is a partner in the Black Hills, said to him, are you breathing? Are you breathing? And he said, am I breathing? He's really fast. And, he's been inspiring to be around. We love him. Like, seriously, he's touched me.
Well, Suzanne, in making a documentary, how important is it to really like the subject, or the person that you're talking, that you're depicting, whose story you're trying to tell?
I think documentaries take many forms. You know, there are investigative documentaries that I've worked on where I didn't like the subject, and we were trying to figure out if, you know, fairly how we would represent their story. With Dayton, you know, my love affair began with what he's done for all of us in protecting lands and the native species. That's the crux of his story. And you can't not like that if you care at all about this world. So, yeah, it's important, but, you know, he's a special guy. It comes across in the film. I looked for certain nuances in his story that were hard for him to tell. I don't want to give it away because I'm hoping people will come out to Hill City on Friday evening at 7 o'clock to see this at the high school. But, you know, I knew it wasn't all rosy. You don't live 88 years on this planet and be the perfect citizen or the perfect father or the perfect husband. There are always trials and tribulations in everyone's life. And after 11 years, Dayton opened up to me, and we learn about his life. And it's not all fun and games, but he stuck to his mission. You know, he always stayed the course that what was important to him was protecting the Western United States and the animals, no matter what was happening in his own personal life. And we learn about that in the film.
What has been his response, or what's his response to the finished film?
If you thought I was nervous in the Black Hills, let me tell you about Utah. When we premiered at Slam Dance, now let me tell you, Barbara Koppel, who's a two-time Academy Award-winning director and who's the executive producer of this film, and she'll be here on Saturday at the awards ceremony, she said to me, you know, I know you're really nervous to show this to Dayton. You've got to bring it to him. You have to bring it to him before we show it in a public arena. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I really want him to see it with an audience. It's such a personal story. It's such a personal tale. And, you know, we waited. We waited to Slam Dance before, you know, a couple hundred people in an auditorium when he saw it for the first time. And, you know, I was nervous in my seat, looking over to him the entire time, looking at Steve, oh, my goodness, what's he going to say? And that evening, we went to dinner, and he said, you really did a beautiful film about my life. Thank you so much. It's going to mean a lot to not only myself, but to my family and my grandchildren, and thank you so much. And it's just been, it's taken off, you know, so much further than I ever expected, because we've become this traveling troupe together.
Now you're traveled here. Well, it was nice to have you join us here on Dakota Midday, Suzanne and Steve. And,
thanks,
Carl. Best of luck with the film.
Thanks, and we're looking forward for all of South Dakota to come out and see how this film supports their state.
Suzanne Mitchell is the director of the documentary Running Wild, The Life of Dayton O'Hyde, and Steve Foltz wrote the music. The film shows Friday evening at 7 at Hill City High School. I'm Carl Gerke, and you're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Today we're broadcasting from Hill City Harley-Davidson, the headquarters of the 2013 Black Hills Film Festival. It runs through Sunday in Hill City and Rapid City.